Hebrews chapter 11, reading verses 1 through 3. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. Let's pray. O Lord, as we come before you today, may we take these words, understand them truly. May my words be true to yours. Lord, open our eyes so that we can see with faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'd like to have a movie night some night, maybe even next Saturday, if anyone's interested, and show the film Chariots of Fire. Now, if you haven't seen it, it's probably the greatest film of all time. But some people don't even get it and don't understand it and would not agree with that. But it opens at the funeral of Harold Abrahams. He won the 100-meter dash in the 1924 Olympics. And it begins with a quote from Ecclesiasticus 4:1. Let us now praise famous men and our fathers that begat us. But it leaves out verse 2 of Ecclesiasticus 4, which says, the Lord hath wrought great glory by them through his great power from the beginning. So it puts it in a context. Now, Ecclesiasticus, being a book out of the Apocrypha, is not considered scripture by most of Christendom. So I'd change the words a little bit in Ecclesiasticus 4:1. And I would say, let us now commend faithful men, which is what the writer of Hebrews is talking about here. Let us now commend faithful men. Hebrews 11 does this. Now, we rightly hold back from the praise of men, but we should not be afraid to commend those who have been faithful. In our own denomination, we can point to men and women who have been faithful. And their fruit is obvious. It can be seen. People like Wayne and Mary Spear, Ken and Floyd Smith, Ed and Gretchen Robeson. Now, some of you may know these people. But many people look to these as examples of the faith, to these people, men and women, as examples of the faith. And I'm sure in your life, there are many people that you look to and say, you know, that's a good example that I can follow. The writer of Hebrews doesn't hold back from commending those who lived by faith. Those who do live by faith have lives that bear fruit. And we can see those things. Their fruit is evident. It's a good thing to commend faithful men and women. Now, as the New International Commentary started out explaining verse 1, I thought it put it very beautifully, and so I'd like to read that. Our author might well have proceeded from 10:39... to the exhortation to run with steadfast endurance the race for which we have entered. Chapter 12, verse 1. But first, he encourages his readers further by reminding them of examples of faith in earlier days. In Old Testament times, he points out, there were many men and women who had nothing but the promises of God to rest upon, without any visible evidence that these promises would ever be fulfilled. And in fact, they didn't see the promises fulfilled in their lives. They didn't see Jesus come and die on the cross in their lives. But they trusted. Yet so much did these promises mean to them that they regulated the whole course of their lives in their light. The promises related to a state of affairs belonging to the future But these people acted as if that state of affairs were already present. So convinced were they that God could and would fulfill what he had promised. In other words, they were men and women of faith. Their faith consisted simply in taking God at his word and directing their lives accordingly. Things yet future, as far as their experience went, were thus present to faith, and things outwardly unseen were visible to the inward eye. Does your faith consist simply in taking God at his word and directing your life accordingly? Now, these verses, 1 through 3 in Hebrews 11, are set in a context. And the New International Commentary sort of alluded to that idea of a context. I'd like to read 10:35 to the first part of verse 4. So if I go back to 10:35, "Therefore, do not throw away your confidence," that word will come up again, "which has a great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. For yet a little while, and the coming one will come and will not delay. But my righteous one shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who have faith and preserve their souls." Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. "For by it the people of old received their commendation. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. By faith, Abel." And then we'll see through the rest of chapter 11. By faith. By faith. By faith. By faith. Do not throw away your confidence. My righteous one shall live by faith. So what is faith? These three verses in the beginning of chapter 11 give us a definition of faith, give us a commendation of those who live by faith, and give us an example of what it means to have faith. So let's look, first of all, at the definition. Verse 1. "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen." Now you'll see different translations of this. The first word that the ESV has by "now faith" is "the assurance of things hoped for." This first word, "assurance," is the Greek word hypostasis. Literally, it means a setting under. So the idea that what is put down and then built upon, that's what's there. You can be assured of something because you've got the groundwork, you've got the foundation, you know that it's there. Now, the King James translates this as "substance." Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Now, that's using the word in the same way that the writer of Hebrews used in chapter 1, verse 3, where it talks about God's nature, the very essence, substance of God, God's nature. It's the same word that's used there. So that's using it in an objective sense. The substance, what is set under, the what you believe in is there. But we also have that word can carry the subjective sense of being assured because of that substance that's there, being assured that it will go on, that you can trust in it. It's the result of the belief that you have. Now, the Greek word contains both of these ideas. So there's nothing wrong with the King James translating it "substance," and there's nothing wrong with the ESV translating it "assurance," and I'd like you to think of both things. It's what we depend upon. It's what's set under all of our belief. Faith is the assurance. It's the substance of what is hoped for. Both are contained in that word. And it's the conviction of things not seen. The word here is alegkos. King James translates it as evidence, the ESV as conviction. No contradiction there. It's sort of the growth of the word as it was used through time. It started out with the idea of testing something, examining something. It came into inquiring about something and the evidence that's there. So if you go to court, people will present evidence as to whether you're guilty or innocent. The evidence is there. If you've ever been in court or been on a jury or something, you see that there's a real need to stick to the evidence when you're making a decision about whether something is right or not. So there, it goes from the idea of the evidence to what it results in. Well, what does it result in? Well, if someone is guilty, the evidence will suggest that they are guilty and they will then be a convict. In the good sense, if the evidence is there to support something, you can have a conviction about it. And that's how the word is used here. So either evidence or conviction, both flow out of this idea. We have the evidence, if we live by faith, we have the evidence that both God exists and that He cares for us and He shows us His grace. We can have the conviction of the belief in our God because of that. As the New National Commentary had said, their faith consisted simply in taking God at His word and directing their lives accordingly. If you do that, you'll live by the conviction that God is there, that God is a God of grace, that God loves you, that God cares for you, and God will bring you to Himself and will have an eternity with Him. Things yet future, as far as their experience went, were thus present in faith. Things outwardly unseen were visible to the inward eye. We need to see with eyes of faith. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Those who live that way have a commendation. Now, who are the people? Verse 2. For by it the people of old received their commendation. The people of old, it's actually just one word here in the Greek, it's presbyteros, and you may have heard that word in relationship to a few people in the church. The word just means elder. So, but here it's used in the general sense, not of the office, but it's just the general sense of the elders, the people who have gone before us. In the opening where I quoted from Ecclesiastes, it's the fathers of old, the people who have gone before. King James translates it, for by it the elders obtained a good report. Here it's the people of old who received a commendation. What is this good report? What is this commendation? Well, it's the word that we bring into English is martyr. Now, who can tell me, when I say the word martyr, what do you think of? Elias, if I say martyr, what do you think of? Martyr. A martyr. Mandy, you got something? Nate, how about you? All right. Oh, anyone else? I'll open it up to the group.
Death.
You think of death? Okay, when we think of a martyr, we might, picture in our mind John Huss going and getting put on a stake and having all of the fire around him and getting burned to death at the stake. That's a martyr. We might think of the two Margarets in covenanter history. Two Margarets where the younger Margaret watches the waters sweep over the head of the older Margaret.
as she dies for her faith. We often think of death as we think of a martyr. The word doesn't necessarily mean death, though. It means having a testimony, having a witness.
Here it's used in that sense of the witness that was there and the commendation that results from that witness, from that testimony that these people had. Not all martyrs die for their faith, but all martyrs live by faith. They don't all die for their faith, but they all live by faith. They have a testimony. They may be commended for it. Are you a martyr? Are you living by faith? Are you trusting in that one who has given you his grace, the one who loves you, the one who will carry you through to all eternity and usher you in to the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is at hand. It's fulfilled. Jesus Christ came so that we could enter into God's presence, so we could be a part of his kingdom. Repent from your sins and believe the gospel. And you will have a witness. You will have a commendation. And now the author turns to his first example of living by faith. Verse 3, by faith, we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. Here's the first example of living by faith. Now, the rest of Hebrews will take an example in terms of people who lived by faith. Here it's just a general sense of the difference between living by what is visible, trusting in chariots, trusting in horses, instead of living by trusting in God. We might not be able to see, but we know he's there because of the evidence that is all around us. By faith, we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. Now, the word of God, it was created by the word of God. Now, we might think back to John chapter 1. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God. And it's talking about Jesus being the Word and being very God and ushering in the heavens and the earth, being a part of that creation. Now, that's not the idea that's here, although there's no contradiction. The word here that's used isn't logos, which is what John uses in John chapter 1. But it's an utterance of God. How did God create the world? God said, let there be light. And guess what? There was light. God said. So by his utterance, by his speaking, God created the heavens and the earth. He created the world. Now there are many today that would say that, well, God couldn't have done that. My understanding that there is no contradiction between a true understanding of Scripture and true science. The difference is the presuppositions. When you come at science and say there's no possibility that there is a God who could do anything, then what you come away with is quite different from someone who says God was there at the beginning, and God created the heavens and the earth. And those two people can look at the same evidence, can look at the same things, can look at the same true science and come up with very, very, very different results. We need to make sure that our presuppositions are right. We believe in God. And by faith, we can understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. No contradiction. Understand the presuppositions with which people work. There's no contradiction between a true understanding of Scripture and true science. By faith, we can know that. By faith, we can see the truth. Are you living by faith? Do you look out at the world around you? And do you look at the things that are there and trust in those things to carry you through? Do you see money as what's going to bring you happiness? Do you see homes or cars or anything else as those things that will allow you to live in this world? Some of those things are handy to have. But it's not how we live. We are to live by faith. We trust in the God who has given Himself for us. In the God who has given us His Word and gave us a picture of how He would bring us salvation by sending Jesus Christ to die on the cross for our sins. And now we can live for that God who has given Himself for us. We can live by faith. Make sure as you look out at the world around you, as you look at the things that God is calling you to do, that you look with eyes of faith. Because faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. They may not be visible with our physical eyes, but God is visible if we look with eyes of faith. And we should see everything in light of what He is doing, working in us and working in the world around us. Let's pray. O Lord, we thank You that You open our hearts so that we can see with eyes of faith. Lord, help us not to fall back into looking just at the visible, but to always see things with Your eyes. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We'll now turn to Psalm 27, Selection D. Now, the psalmist is looking to God. Oh, Lord, teach me to follow You. He's looking to God. But he's not looking to God without any troubles surrounding him. He has foes who are around him. But he looks to that God, and he waits upon that God who he knows is there, who he knows is working, who he knows is working both in him and in the world around him. And he trusts in that Lord with patience, stanza 15, with patience. Wait upon the Lord. Oh, let your strength be great. And so let courage fill your heart as on the Lord you wait. 27, selection D, please stand to sing.
Because of all.
We'll now worship God with our tithes and offering. And let's pray. Oh Lord, as we come before you today, we come by faith. We know that you are God, that you have brought this world into being, and that you are now caring for us as you complete your kingdom, as you draw men and women to yourself. O Lord, help each of us to know the truth of the good news that Jesus Christ has come to die on the cross for our sins. Help us to know that we must put our trust completely in Him and then live by faith, trusting in that one who has saved us. Lord, may we repent of the sins that so easily come upon us. But may we turn to you. May we trust in the sacrifice that you have given as the payment for those sins. May we trust in the righteousness that you provide as we live by faith. O Lord, be with each one here as we go through the difficulties of this world. Help us to remember that they are short, but that you are bringing us into an everlasting kingdom. Lord, we pray for those who are not able to be with us today. May you keep them in safety as they travel. And Lord, help us to be lights in this community, in the world around us. Help us to show others the truth of who you are as we live our lives by faith. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.